Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to today's TSF1 Greece podcast with Alex and Panos. First of all, let's welcome all of you, and second of all, let's welcome Panos. Hello, Panos.
Hello, Alex.
So, I think we can officially, after being like a month late, we finally managed to arrange the schedule to talk about the WEC, more specifically the prologue and the Qatar 1,812 kilometers. I mean, like, okay. So, we discussed already the naming of this race, so let's go directly into the main subject of the day and start with the prologue. So, we had a great start in the 2024 WEC season, which kicked off with the prologue testing, as it does every year, at the beautiful Losail International Circuit. It's a mix between of the familiar and the new, with the circuit welcoming a fresh lineup of cars. This year we only have two classes, as we said, and the very interesting array of drivers making this season really interesting. More than Formula One, may I say, so far. But that's for now.
Anyway, let's talk about the venue. The venue itself, Alex, focus. Qatar stepping up as the host of this pre-season spectacle has been a hit among the teams. With top-notch facilities and the climate that was just perfect at that time of the year, there was no wonder the paddocks were buzzing. Plus, the strategic location means the team like Hertz Team Yota found it super convenient for off-season preparations, testing in sunshine instead of the chill back home.
Definitely. So, do you want to tell us a bit more about the track itself?
Exactly. The circuit changes. Qatar's 3.2-mile track threw a couple of curveballs at the drivers. It looked deceptively spacious on TV during a MotoGP race, but it's actually quite snug, full of twists and turns that can easily lead to traffic snarls. And let's not overlook the left side tire wear dilemma, a puzzle teams have to solve throughout the year.
Before you move more specifically into hypercars, we have already discussed this about the track. Like, you see an onboard and you think like, oh, okay, there's like not a lot of space at all. And at MotoGP, it looks like a Formula One racetrack where there's like...
It's space. A bit boring. Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, that was like the first takeaway. So, do you want to tell us a bit more about hypercar class?
So, we can move on to the highlights from the prologue for the hypercar class. Porsche 963s in particular have been hogging the limelight, with Jota and Penske setting the pace.
Definitely.
Yet, an unexpected twist saw Kevin Estre's number 6 car facing a hiccup, but that barely slowed them down. Cadillac and Ferrari are not that far behind, each showcasing their prowess and hinting at a highly competitive season, as we saw on the first race.
Definitely.
So, yeah, it's a bit strange talking about something that already happened. Anyway, let's move on to the driver. Drivers are sharing their takes on the circuit quirks. Harit Inknel from Proton Competition and Ahmad Al-Harthi from Team WRT gave us the scoop on the track's unique challenges, from its slippery grip to the nail-biting overtakes. It's clear that mastering this track is not a small feat, whether you drive a hypercar or either a GT3 car class. I think we can end the hypercar class.
I think with we a bit should maybe just move directly to the next class, and then we can sum it all up at the end. So, this year the second class we have is called officially LMGT3. So it's basically a whole new set of rules and a fleet of brand new cars that hit the track, and there was definitely a lot of curiosity to see what will happen. And from what we've seen, the Aston Martin Vantage AMR LMGT3s are definitely turning heads, with the drivers from the station and Heart of Racing lighting up the timing screens. So, some standout performances. The TF Sports Corvette Z06 LMG D3Rs are showing they mean business, clocking laps just a tick away from the class top times. It's impressive, especially considering that the teams had a very limited test day experience with the new track. Charlie Eastwood from Corvette shared how the team's adaptability and strong start had them basically having a feeling of optimism about their competitive edge. Of course, we did have some challenges and surprises. More specifically, Proton Competition had a bit of a roller coaster with their Mustangs, battling against time and tiredness to get ready. While their speed might not have been the headline grabbing, the commitment of the mechanic deserves definitely a shout out. And with the field so tightly packed, seriously, I mean, six brands finished the prologue with times neck to neck, this season is definitely going to be really interesting. So, we also have like a new balance of the whole performance system. Digging into the technical side a bit here, there's a lot of chatter about how the new balance of performance system and the virtual energy tank will play its role. It's a game changer, ensuring fair play by monitoring the energy each car uses per stint. Thierry Beauvais from the ACO explained that it's all about fairness and strategy. Well, teams are navigating when to refuel without topping up each time. So, basically, the impact that this has on racing is that the virtual tank setup is more than just numbers. It's adding like a fresh layer on a whole race strategy, basically. With shorter stints expected, there's a whole new playbook for teams to explore. Plus, the fans will get a clear picture of the action with live fuel stats during the broadcast. But beware, any slip-ups with the system come with hefty penalties, and I guess we will be seeing those. So that has been pretty much the first stage, so I think we can move on to the main race. I would like to cover the hypercar class, if you're okay with it, and then you take over LMGT3.
Of course, my favorite.
So, on hypercar, we have a historic victory with kicking, because we really kicked things off with a bang. The number 6 points Porsche Penske Motorsport 963 snagged a monumental win under the Qatar night sky, marking a series of firsts. That was Penske's initial WEC win, the 963's debut victory, and the groundbreaking moments for the LMDH formula in the championship. Lawrence Vanthoor, Andre Lotterer and Kevin Estre steered their way to glory despite a nail-biting encounter with a GT3 Lexus that nearly cost them their lead. We also had, of course, what else? A bit of drama. Okay, because how couldn't we? It's motorsport. So Estre's brush with the GT3 traffic added some unexpected spice to the race, highlighting the challenges of navigating a packed track. Yet, even with reduced pace towards the finish, the team's resilience shone through, landing them atop an all Porsche podium. It's a sweep we haven't seen, I think it was like 2013, so it's almost a decade. Underscoring just how dominant Porsche was in this opener. There was, though, some heartbreaking moments, especially for Peugeot. So, if we look at Peugeot, the number 93 9X8 seemed poised for a strong finish, shadowing the Porsche really closely. But as the race drew to a close, a sudden power loss for Jean-Éric Vergne dashed their hopes, relegating them to a distant 7th. It was a bitter end to what could have been a really an amazing performance for Peugeot's wingless marvel. But I think before we move to the LMGT3 class, you will allow me to make a little pointer over here, like a comment. Over the LMGT3 class, it wasn't the door-to-door battle some expected, but it still served up its share of drama. The Manta Pure Racing Porsche LMGT3 R992, say that fast 10 times, emerged victorious after an intense showdown with Hearts of Racing Aston Martin, a strategic masterclass from Alex Malikin, Joel Sturm and Klaus Bachler not only secured them the win, but also placed the team at the forefront of the championship standing. That's what we mentioned before, like a podium full of Porsches. So, but in the field we also had some mixed fortunes. The race was a roller coaster for several teams, with Cadillac Racing clawing back to a commendable fourth after an early setback, while Toyota's usual dominance left them struggling to keep pace. The new kids on the block, BMW, Alpine and Lamborghini, faced their own trials, turning the race into a valuable learning experience and hitting at the intense development battles to come. Last but not least, before Panos moves on with the LMGT3 class, I think this race was more than just a sum of its parts. It was a narrative of strategy and the occasional stroke of bad luck. Porsche celebrated a perfect start for the season, and the rest of the field is already gearing up for its redemptions. With such a dynamic start, I think the season will be one of the most thrilling yet. So, Panos, do us the honors, please, and take over the LMGT3 class.
Let's dive into the LMGT3 class, first ever dance on the WEC stage. While it might not have been the edge of your seat thriller for as we anticipated, the Qatar showdown had us glued to our screens, dissecting every strategic move over nearly 10 hours of intense racing. let's talk about Porsche once again. The spotlight was firmly on the number 92, monthly pure racing Porsche 911 LMGT3 R992. Thank you. Clinching a win after a captivating tussle with a heart of racing Aston Martin. That sound of those two, I mean, I can't. It was a perfect day for Porsche, not just claiming the overall win, but also dominating the podium. Alex Malikin, Joel Sturm and Klaus Bacher delivered a performance that was nothing short of masterful, marking an unforgettable debut for the Lithuanian squad in the WEC. Let's talk about Aston Martin, the heart of racing team. They powered their way to an impressive second place with the 2024 Vantage AMR LMGT3, proving their mettle on the global stage. Ian James, Daniel Mancinelli and Alex Riberas showed their real grit, finishing just a hair's breadth behind Porsche. Let's talk about the third place. The real game changer in this race, managing the bronze drive time. Strategies were varied wildly, with some teams rushing to get their amateur stints out of the way, while others played the long game. It was this chess match that spread the field, turning what could have been a free-for-all into a test of tactical prowess. So let's talk about the heroes of the drivers of the day, as we say in F1. Speaking of strategy, the Ironman stints from Ian James and Ahmad Al-Harthy were nothing short of heroic. Al-Harthy's marathon run in the scorching heat was particularly notable, pushing through without hydration for a staging 3 hours and 22 minutes. 3 hours and 22 minutes racing consistently, lap after lap after lap, with all the G's on your body, all the pressure.
It's Qatar, so it's
hot
and it's hot. It's basically disgusting in every way.
I mean, that was dedication, I think. That's the meaning of the dedication.
I mean, so, it's tough.
I think we can look ahead to the Imola race.
Basically, the next race is the 6 hours of Imola, which again is not happening for us this year, but next year, it has already shown it's a force to be reckoned with. From Porsche's flawless performance, I think, to the Aston Martin's really strong debut and the strategic depth on display, there's plenty to see moving forward to. I think that's pretty much it. We should have like a very interesting season. We used to say like better than Formula One, but
it's already better.
We saw the Australian Grand Prix, so we were like, okay.
It's somehow at 6 a.m.
like one is trying to fight back. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Thank God we can see it on a replay at whatever time we want. I didn't see it live, of course. I hope it's not like a bang only for the opening. It continues like this, because that would make it much more interesting. So we really look forward to Imola. That's pretty much it, I would say, for today's episode, and we Basically, look forward to seeing you on the next one after Imola. Panos, anything else you would like to add?
I'm just feeling sad that we couldn't get to Imola this year.
Can I put like a little how do I say it? Like start a little fire. I kind of wanna support Porsche on WEC despite Ferrari already racing. I mean, Porsche is not doing Formula 1.
Look. Okay. You know, I'm a Porsche fan.
Ferrari and Porsche, like, the rest is indifferent, basically.
We both are tifosis and Ferrari fans, but
you have to
I don't know.
The enemy as well.
The Porsche is like, you see a 911 GT3 RS, and you're like, that's a really nice car. That's a driver's car.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a 911. Like, how can you not like it? It's a Porsche. It's clinical.
It's Porsche.
It's not
Porsche.
It's Porsche.
Porsche without E.
No, to be exact.
Anyway.
German, it's Porsche. So the E.
Anyway.
Okay, so we're getting annoying and boring. We look forward to seeing you on the next one.
Mm-hmm.
It should be in around 3 weeks' time because it's like on the middle of March. So the first weekend after the race, we should be able to give you a podcast. Till then, thank you very much for listening to us, and hopefully we have a great season and an interesting season. Panos, thank you for co-hosting today, and we look forward
to
seeing you again on the next one. Have a good one. Bye bye.